Indie Media is DIY news. It is about people reporting their own news directly without the need for reporters, bypassing the corporate media.
There are 100 Indie Media or IMC websites worldwide providing grassroots reports of struggles, campaigns and protests.
There are so many people here who are saying no to the government today, and this is democracy in action.
Everybody's here. Everybody in the country seems to be here. They're just coming from all over the place. The banners are showing all the tiny, tiny little pockets of the country. Everybody has come down here.
The project started 3 years ago covering the massive Seattle protests which shut down the World Trade Organization summit.
Uncensored and unsponsored, IMC sites can be updated anywhere, anytime, by anyone.
The open to all nature of these sites means that you can publish your own reports about your own issues and at the same time connect to a global network of grassroots news. What you are about to hear are some highlights from these global websites and from our very own UK IMC Wire. For more information or to get the news direct from the streets, check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
Hello and welcome to this week's show. And thank you, Paul, for a really nice show and some really beautiful music. And following on from his show, today is the anniversary of the bombing of Nagasaki, and I made a piece. I didn't make it, I just cut it down. It's from a guy in the States called Skidmark Bob, and it's about Hiroshima, which the anniversary was 3 or 4 days ago.
On December 7th, 1941, Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor had launched the war in the Pacific. Now, 3.5 years later, the Japanese have seen the tide of battle turn against them. The Americans have leapfrogged across the Pacific, sweeping the Japanese before them. Japan's Imperial fleet has been neutralized, its air force overpowered. From the island air bases they now control, the Americans' B-29 flying fortresses are able to strike at the Japanese home islands. A systematic firebombing campaign is launched against cities and industrial centers. It is the most devastating attack against civilian targets ever carried out. Meanwhile, in America, Robert Oppenheimer and other scientists have spent 3 years working in secrecy to develop a new type of bomb. They have at last succeeded. But their achievement is not yet known to the world, and certainly not to the citizens of Hiroshima in the summer of 1945.
Osaka, even Okinawa, all of Japan is in danger. If it doesn't end soon, our country will become a wasteland. This is no time for games. It's serious, Gen. I won't have you making light of it.
There's one thing that bothers me. It's like you said, every major city around us has been bombed over and over again, but never Hiroshima.
On that day at 2:45 a.m., three American B-29s took off from an airbase on Tinian in the Marianas. Two of them were observation planes. The third was the Enola Gay, named for the captain's mother.
All clear! The enemy is gone! All clear! The enemy is gone! All clear! The enemy is gone!
I'll bet you it's another spy plane.
Well, that's a B-29 vapor trail.
Oh, look how clear the sky is. It'll be hot today.
Observation plane Easterly calling in Ola Gay. Calling in Ola Gay. Weather's fair and clear over Hiroshima. You are go for bomb run.
Roger, Easterly. Standing by to drop on target.
10,000 children played in the playground, swinging on swings, didn't hear the sound of the single plane that flew overhead. The third shift workers were just going to bed. There was a flash of light and a rumbling noise, gone in an instant. Parents, girls, and boys, 10,000 mothers were boiling rice. 1,000 prisoners of war were rolling their dice, hoping they'd survive this terrible storm. When each young man in his uniform vanished in the air in the blink of an eye, one moment they lived, on the next they all died. Hiroshima.
We've got a fix on the target, sir. Standing by to release payload.
Roger. Release the bomb.
Releasing bomb.
Atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We won the race of discovery against the Germans. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war, in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war.
It was 8:15 in the morning on August 6th, 1945, when the world's first atomic bomb was dropped. The bomb exploded 580 meters over the city of Hiroshima. At the time, the population of Hiroshima was about 350,000. This big city, however, was wiped out in a flash by a single bomb. Everything within a radius of 2 kilometers was completely burned and reduced to ruin. Between 130,000 and 150,000 people were killed instantly, and many more died within the next 5 months. It's thought that approximately 200,000 people died by the end of 1950, or the first 5 years of that initial explosion. I was exposed to the atomic bomb 1.5 kilometers from the ground zero. What happened first was I saw a strong, tremendous flash, probably 1,000 times or even tens of thousand times stronger than a flash of lightning. And then next, a big thump followed, a strong blast, and in the next moment I was thrown about 15 meters from where I had been standing, and I lost consciousness. When I finally regained consciousness, I noticed that my hair was frizzled and my clothes were tattered, and I was covered with blood. I was also terribly burned all over my body, and I was running away. There were bodies completely burned black everywhere. The bodies I saw while I was escaping were piled up here and there, and I could not tell if they were men or women, or young or old. Even those who were still alive didn't last long. They were covered with blood, and I had to step over those bodies while I was escaping. My own body felt like it was burning, and the next moment I realized that I was in the river. The river was soon filled with injured people, and I could not see the surface of the water with all the people half sinking or half floating around me. So many disappeared into the water one after another. Finally, I finally got out of the water and began fleeing again out of the city, and I saw houses completely destroyed and collapsed and became ruined. I heard many voices of people who were buried under a collapsed house shouting, "Help, help." But after all, I was just a girl and I was hurt terribly, so I could not help any of them. In fact, I tried not to hear those voices covering my ears with my hands. I went up to a hill called Kijiyama to escape. When I looked down the city from the top of the hill, the city of Hiroshima was gone, completely disappeared. The number of the dead was so great that people didn't know what to do with them. So the bodies were loaded on a truck, one after another, like luggage to be carried away. I saw many small hands and feet among them. Each one of them was an important and irreplaceable person to their families.
What in the world? It's raining. What the? Why, that's not right. Mother, have you ever seen rain that's black like this?
This black rain began falling on the northwest section of the city. The impact of the bomb's blast had sent dust, debris, and radiation high into the atmosphere, where it gathered in a gigantic lethal cloud before returning to the earth as radioactive rain. The bomb that had fallen on the city detonated with a destructive force of 20,000 tons of TNT and generated temperatures in excess of 4,000 degrees. Some 60% of the city had vanished. But the damage did not end there. The people of Hiroshima did not know it yet, but the bomb's after effects, such as the black rain, would bring them many years of suffering. After the bombing of Hiroshima, the United States issued an ultimatum, calling on Japan to surrender and threatening to drop a second atomic bomb if it did not. The Japanese high command ignored the warning. They made certain the full extent of the damage to Hiroshima was little reported. 3 days later, on August 9th, another B-29 appeared in the sky above the city of Nagasaki. On August 15th, the Emperor Hirohito, in the first public address ever made by a Japanese sovereign, announced that the war was over.
Hiroshima.
dozen lovers made love to each other, each one of them thinking there might not be another. Living so long with death everywhere, much more than one person alone can bear. But there wasn't time for a final kiss. Who could have known it would end like this? Hiroshima. Thousand people were living their lives, grandparents, children, fathers and wives. Now they're just shadows on the street in such a quick burst of incredible heat. Listen to them talk about doing it again. From whence came the souls of these terrible men? Hiroshima.
On the anniversary of the US bombing of Nagasaki, two women and one man highlighted the continued and illegal development of UK's own weapons of mass destruction. At 12:30 a.m, three peace activists entered the high-security Faslane naval base on the Clyde and remained inside the base for over 2 hours. The activists stated that the global proliferation of nuclear weapons makes the world a more dangerous place and is terrorism on a global scale. The three, as part of Trident plowshares, cut into the high security base through an outer perimeter fence and through a Second World mesh fence. The bandit alarm was triggered, closing all gates to the base for approximately 2 hours, and consequently causing a queue of traffic at the main gate for this time. Two activists headed inside a high security area before being detected by Ministry of Defence police. They remained situated between the fence and the razor wire until after 2:30 a.m. when the Ministry of Defence finally cut a hole through the world mesh to reach the activists, who were then arrested. In a joint statement, the three stated, "We have chosen the anniversary of the destruction of the Japanese city of Nagasaki by the atomic bomb on the 9th of August 1945 to take action to highlight the British government's own weapons of mass destruction presently at Faslane. As concerned and responsible citizens, we are appalled by the hypocrisy of our government, which claims to be committed to disarmament under the Non-Proliferation Treaty, yet shows no signs of fitting actions to these words." Earlier this summer, the US and UK governments were accused by the British American Security Information Council of conspiring to break the international agreement to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons. BASIC, along with another nuclear think tank, the acronym Institute for Disarmament Diplomacy in London, have detailed evidence of a large-scale collaboration by the two countries to develop their nuclear arsenals, an activity that the NPT is specifically designed to prevent. The horrors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki must never be allowed to happen again, yet the US and UK governments are doing nothing to lessen that risk. Peace slogans were also painted on buildings within the area. A picture of the destruction of Nagasaki was hung within the base. All three were arrested for breaching Ministry of Defence bylaws and one for two sets of malicious damage. They were released later in the morning. On August the 23rd, many activists from the UK and abroad will be protesting and blockading and taking action at Faslane for Carry On Up the Clyde.
Meanwhile, there promises to be many more actions at bases on the Clyde during the two-week Trident Ploughshares disarmament camp, which begins on August the 18th. Now we have another track by Steel Pulse called The Handsworth Revolution.
And we move from Handsworth to Weymouth. An update on last week's Weymouth anti-bypass protest site. Protesters set up a new camp on proposed route of Weymouth Relief Road. They urgently need tools and support. Activists have been in occupation of an area of woodland on the route of the Weymouth Relief Road since the beginning of July. Now they have withdrawn from the woods and set up a site in a prominent place at the beginning of the proposed road route. The road, which would cut through areas of outstanding natural beauty and ancient woodland, in its proposed length of 6 kilometres, was due to be built a decade ago, but was shelved due to fierce opposition from activists and locals. Now they're trying to push it through again, and activists hope to raise awareness of the damage it will cause by building defences at the beginning of the route. They've erected a tower which is highly visible from the surrounding area. They could do with a visit. The site is really close to the beach. Donations of the following would be extremely welcome. Polyprop, nails, cement, wood for building, boards, beams, etc., tarps, stuff for making banners, tools. The site is behind a Safeways off the A354 behind a roundabout where Dorchester Road meets Weymouth Way. Site mobile is 07800 760 257. Email weymouth@roadalert.org.uk.
Electricians who staged one of the country's longest running industrial disputes and won celebrity backing were unfairly sacked, a tribunal decided. The massive win marked the end of a protest which followed claims that unskilled workers were hired on the cheap to carry out electrical work on the £25 million One Piccadilly Gardens development. A Manchester employment tribunal found four of the men, members of the Transport and General Workers Union, had been sacked for their trade union activities. It ruled they're entitled to compensation over and an above an ordinary unfair dismissal award. Electric Subcontractors, DAF, fired the men while they were working on the Piccadilly site. The firm has about 4 weeks to appeal against the decision. The sacked men set up a picket line outside the site to highlight their case. They later moved it to a £30 million court building in Spinningfields, where the same company was carrying out the electrical work. In total, the protest lasted just over a year and they gathered 40,000 signatures on a petition. It was also signed by Manchester United director Sir Bobby Charlton, Coronation Street actors Johnny Briggs, brackets Mike Baldwin, Michael Lievell, Kevin Webster and Happy Mondays star Bez. Steve Atkinson from Denton, who led the protest, said this is a great victory, not just for us, but for all those who supported us as well. You can't overstate the enormity of the victory and what it means. The Manchester public who donated to our campaign and signed our petition were fantastic. At times, with the weather and the hardship, it was very tough, but this was a principled stand and we were determined to see it through. Seven other electricians sacked at the same time lost their cases for unfair dismissal. They are considering an appeal against the decision. Mr. Ackerson said, "Our delight is mixed with sadness for our colleagues who did not win their cases. We are hoping they will appeal and justice will be done." DAF electrical boss Dave Fahey was unavailable for comment. An employee at the firm said he was on holiday. John Rouse, the TGWU National Secretary for Manufacturing, said, "This is an excellent result for lads in Manchester. They deserve recognition for their determination to fight for their rights." And now more music.
You and Amanda won.
Australian court has acquitted all officers of human rights abuses in East Timor during 1999. An Indonesian court has upheld the appeals of the last four military and police officers charged with crimes in the carnage that occurred in East Timor in 1999. The trials have been widely condemned as a sham and an attempt by the Indonesian government to deflect international criticism through delays and legal processes. The results of the sham trials are that all Indonesian military and police officers, 16 in all, have not been deemed responsible for the terror in East Timor. The only people convicted are two ethnic Timorese, who, though involved, were by no means the masterminds. The Indonesian military destroyed East Timor systematically with massive loss of life. The Indonesian state and military has walked away without consequence. Of terrifying concern is the fact that a number of those who oversaw operations in East Timor have been appointed to oversee other conflict areas, including Papua and Aceh. East Timor has attempted to pursue its justice, but Indonesia has refused to hand over the suspects in its military who remain at large and are still serving. Sadly, the international community, as it did in the past, is turning a blind eye. Both the US and Australia are seeking to renew their military ties, despite the sham trials and despite ongoing human rights abuses in West Papua and Aceh. The East Timor Network reported that last month, 78 members of Congress wrote to UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, urging him to appoint a commission of experts to evaluate existing justice processes and to carefully consider recommending an international tribunal on East Timor if it finds that current processes have not achieved justice. This month, 65 members of the House of Representatives urged US Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld to reconsider resumption of the bilateral defense dialogue, BDD, with Indonesia because its military has successfully evaded accountability